lollygaggers. Another week on tap here. Lollygagging Sports. I am Bo Reed along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. So we are now full swing in the second half. We're past the trade deadline. And it's been kind of a roller coaster for some teams. Other teams kind of wish they could do the trade deadline over again, but we'll get into all that. Samantha, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I almost got a no-hitter today. But that's okay.
I always like it when one of your guys gets close to that because I get the all caps message, X player is doing something. But that's all you say is he's doing a thing.
Yeah, you can't say it.
I know.
Like, look, you have to respect these things. I hate when people don't respect this. You don't know. Why would you do it? Why would you take the risk? You don't want to curse this. You just have to say he's doing a thing. Things are happening. Like, people can figure out what that means.
Jeez. I'm with you. Irby, how about you? How you doing?
I'm good. I 100% agree with your assessment there, Samantha. Baseball fans know exactly what you mean by that. And if you don't know what it means, then maybe you don't need to watch this anyway. So, yes, no, it's I do the same thing with friends, too. It's like, there's something on TV I'm watching. Mm-hmm. I suggest you watch it.
Yes. Yeah.
and usually I don't even get a response from them. Everybody knows, like, I got you, man. Yep. Got you. Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's a point, though. Like, it's like, if it's like the sixth, you send that message. If it's the eighth, yes. You say nothing. Because if that thing is still happening in the eighth inning, then everyone needs to keep doing what they're doing. So either if you're watching, you keep watching. And if you're not watching, you do not turn that on. So there's like a tipping point where like you are not permitted to turn that on because you could upset the balance.
Yeah, that's
very important.
That's interesting. It's something I never thought of. All right, so you're saying the line of demarcation is the eighth inning?
Mm-hmm. Well, seventh or eighth. I don't know.
No, it's yes. Bo, we witnessed it Saturday. When I'm hanging out with Bo and his parents, we were at State Swimming. We were down there with them. The Rangers are beating the Mariners. Oh, yeah. My wife walked out of the kitchen in the living room. We give up the lead.
Yeah.
We immediately in the eighth inning, Amy, you need to get back in the kitchen. She went back in the
kitchen. Oh, yeah.
We won in extras.
Yeah.
And then as the game ended, it's like, you can come back now.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm telling you, by the time it's the eighth, everything is set. So seven is a gray area. Six, everything. Six, you can move about the cabin. Seven's a gray area. Eight, whatever you're doing, you're staying. This is how it is. This is the rules. I don't make the rules. It's just how things are.
And for that one person asking, that includes bathroom breaks. If you haven't gone,
uh-huh.
Hold it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Don't care if you have a kidney explode.
No.
Well, okay. Yeah, but well, what if you've had this pattern the entire game of like every odd inning, you make a bathroom break? You have to keep doing that, even if you don't have to go.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to go anyway.
Yeah. Man, hope you don't go to extras.
But yeah, you don't sit somewhere different. Like, if you're thirsty, too bad. Like, you no refills, no food, no nothing. No. No. Absolutely not. Nothing.
Like, legs falling asleep, tough.
Too bad. You'll live. The no-hitter might not.
100% agree.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a fun show tonight. So let's get after it. Samantha, you want to kick us off a little rapid fire?
I will. Yeah. And we will come back to the no-hitter. A couple things to say about this. This will come up. But we're into the rapid fire. 10 questions. These guys don't get any time to think about it. They don't get any time to explain themselves. They will have the opportunity to come back to one of these and speak more on it. If they so choose. Some of these things have right answers. Some of them do not. All right, let's go. MVP check-in. Who's got your vote right now?
Ooh. MVP. Man, I wasn't expecting that one. Ow.
You can let Irby go ahead.
Yeah, Irby, you might need to go ahead of me on this one. I got to think on that.
Yeah, I got you. Cal Raleigh and Kyle Schwarber. I got a lot of weight.
I like it. That would be a big MVP. A big one.
Yeah, I definitely like Cal Raleigh in the American League. And I wish I could think of somebody better than Schwarber in the National League, but I can't off the top of my head. This is rapid fire. So I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to co-sign.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's where I'm at right now, too.
Yeah.
How about the Cy Young?
All right, so Cy Young American League, I'm giving a Nate Eovaldi right now. I understand Scooble stats. We'll explain that later. National League? Okay. National League. Man, I don't really...
Wheeler?
I didn't hear you what?
Wheeler? I mean, it's a two-horse race, you know. So and they're both two-horse races, right? I mean, I don't
know. I think so.
A dark horse candidate, but
yeah, I could go Wheeler. Races. I could go Wheeler.
Yeah. Irby, what about you?
I am also Wheeler over Skeens. Nothing personal. Mm-hmm. I thought it was good. But yeah, I'm Wheeler over Skeens. And I'm doing the same as Bo. We're going to will the non-all-star Nathan Eovaldi to win a Cy Young. Put it out there.
Because I'm still mad about that. I'm still angry about that. And while Tariq Skubal seems like a very nice person, he's on my division rival. I happen to be very fond of Nate Eovaldi. So I'm with you, man. Let's make it happen. And I'm mad about that All-Star thing. I'm still mad about it.
I know. Irby, you keep finding ways to trick Irby on that, and that's not cool, man.
I am really upset yesterday about this. It is upsetting, though. I understand this. I'm with you. All right. Marlins, guys. Is this reason for hope? I don't mean as a long-shot playoff team. That I don't want to hear anyone say that. That's ridiculous. But, like, is there a reason for hope that the Marlins might actually be riding the ship, like, in general for the future?
I don't think so. I think this is a hot streak. No. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a hot streak. I'm not seeing anything from the front office standpoint that tells me that, so no.
Okay. Irby?
Yeah, I'm the same. I feel like we saw this last year. Like, mm-hmm. suddenly they started putting games together. So it's great, but do something about it in the offseason.
Yeah, it's the second front office in a row there that has, like, shown signs of life and then promptly died fairly quickly. So, yeah, I'm going to need more. I mean, it was funny, and I enjoyed it. The Yankee sweep in particular. Very funny. But, yeah, I don't know about this. Okay. How did you celebrate the second annual Tim Anderson Day on Tuesday?
I played a lot of Assassin's Creed last night. A lot of Assassin's Creed. I was video game knocking the crap out of people.
I don't know what that is. Please don't tell me, but it sounds right.
It was a very violent game. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Irby?
Say the question again because Bo's answers got me confused. Wait, what?
I wanted to know how you celebrated the second annual Tim Anderson Day.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, he went to Assassin's Creed. That's all. All right, that's fantastic. I watched the video multiple
yes.
times and reminded myself that since that day, Tim Anderson has yet to hit a home run.
Aw, that's sad. It's not. But yeah, you do have to watch the video, absolutely. We do the reenactment here, although this is a bit misrepresented because my children reenact this, I'd say, three or four times a week. Typically, so not unique to Tim Anderson Day. We celebrate Tim Anderson Day every day. We celebrate it three to four times a week. My children are obsessed with this. So, okay, Dalton Varsho. Sneaky good, under the radar, like power hitter? What are we thinking?
Sorry, I was muted. I'm going to say sneaky good.
Yeah. Irby?
You said what?
Sneaky good.
Sneaky good. I'm going to co-sign. I like that. Good use. Good use of the word sneaky in there. Sneaky good. I like that.
Thank you, since I'm the one who said it.
Right? I was waiting there.
And then he agreed with me. But yes. Dalton Varsho actually looks pretty good. All right. How about the A's rookies? Kurtz, all these guys. What do we think about this? Is this going to turn into anything, or they're just going to trade them all?
Yes, but I'm going to come back to this. But yeah, I do think it's okay. Going to turn into something.
Okay. All right. Guys, I'm very sorry, but we have to do a moron alert. Actually, we're going to have to do two moron alerts. I am sorry for this. So the first moron alert, I'm just going to read the statement. Are we calling this a statement? He clearly, it's from his iPhone notes. Kevin Pillar. Let's pick the first paragraph because we really don't need to hear the entire thing, but... So he says, quote, I was fresh off being released, which more than likely was the end of my playing career. How I was playing at that point in time, despite only being 40 or so at bats, I could understand the front office and what they were trying to accomplish. In my heart of hearts, I will always believe I could have helped the team, but with my exit, a lot of great things have happened with the team. Evan Carter coming back. Hags show the type of player he is after his long recovery that I was around when he was just a kid in Osuna. That all being said, I just want to say go Rangers and stay healthy because the rest of the league knows what's coming. Okay, aside from the fact that you're not going to hire Kevin Pillar to teach your kids grammar.
Fair.
I mean, just your thoughts on whatever the hell this is.
I really just have one rant. No one asked him.
Thank you.
No one asked him a month ago when he knocked around the front office, and no one asked him here. No one cares what you think. So shut up.
Screaming into the void. iPhone noting into the void. Yes. No one asked you. Thank you. Why are you weighing in? Irby, your thoughts.
Yes, thank you. So Kevin actually lives in the DFW area, so I'm assuming this is all damage control. He's tired of people ragging on him, especially now that the Rangers are winning more games than they're
move.
Like, hey, I thought you said you weren't in the inner circle because you were new. I whatever stuff like that. But this is you guys said it best there. This is Kolarov. He probably did this with the fight too, the Odor Bautista fight. He's probably like, remember I was there too. Yeah, this wasn't about you, bro.
Did anyone else detect a little bit of passive aggressiveness at the end there when he says everyone knows what's coming? Because there are several ways you can interpret that. And I'm like, part of me thinks he was being like slyly passive aggressive. And part of me thinks that the grammar in this indicates that he is way too dumb to have figured that out. And that this is just should be taken at face value. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the no-hitter. Gavin Williams. Thoughts?
Well, I actually didn't see the game. I was busy watching ours, and I had a lot of work to do today, so I actually missed it. So I'm gonna defer to Irby here on this one. I don't know if you were watching it or not.
Okay, Irby, let me ask you a question. If you're the Guardians, is he your game one starter in the postseason?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
Yes, and I would say yes before today as well.
I agree. I didn't think this was hard at all. I absolutely 100%. Yeah. Yep. Totally agree. All right. Also on the subject of the no-hitter. The Mets fans gave Gavin Williams a standing ovation when he exited the game with two outs in the ninth inning. My initial reaction to that, well, you know what? All right. Let me ask you guys first. If your team was being no hit, does not get no hit, but almost gets no hit, and has just gotten swept effectively by the opponent, are you giving the opposing pitcher a standing ovation when he comes out of the game?
More than likely, no. But I could see like some players or some performances I would, but more than likely, no.
Irby?
Yes, and I... Technically, I have to come back. I'll come back to it, because I kind of have.
For a no-hitter?
Yeah.
You traitor.
Almost not.
Okay, yeah, we'll come back to this. Yeah, I have some things to say about this, too, so we'll come back to this, because I'm actually with Bo, and I don't know whether Bo and I are jerks, or it's like the Mets fans are pathetic. But
why can't it be both? It could be both.
It might be both. it very much could be both. All right, last thing. Then we'll come back around to the few we wanted to discuss. Guys, I'm very sorry. We have to do another moron alert. And also have to talk about the NFL very briefly. So I apologize for that also. But I needed to bring this up because the subject of this is somebody who Bo and I care very deeply about. And I think Irby wants us to hate. And we just keep liking him more. So I'm sure you can guess which player we're talking about here. It is one, Joe Burrow, of course. Who we have been informed by the Bengals that their solution to him getting a slow start in previous seasons and to the team getting a slow start in general is that they will play him significantly more in the preseason.
Oh, God.
I just, who do I call about this? No, this is the worst idea ever, right? I mean, am I missing? Is this the dumbest idea you've ever heard?
I mean, this is it's dumb. It's player abuse. Like, why?
It's dangerous. Why would you? Yeah, like I don't want to see any starters in the preseason. All they can do is get hurt. Like, this is insane.
Can the players' union file a grievance?
I want to file. Can I file a grievance? I would like to file a grievance.
I think we could. Wow, that is grieved. No. That's just dumb.
Listen, I'm sorry. We saw the most delightful picture of him the other day in his Canadian tuxedo, just like Paige Beckers. Protect Joe Burrow at all costs. This is unsafe. I hate it.
Maybe. Kirby,
do you have any thoughts on this?
It's just probably related to gambling. That's what this is going to come down to in the NFL. It's involved.
Oh, you think Zach Taylor has some money on Joe Burrow preseason stats?
Yep.
The podcast has got flagged. You're going to be questioned about that. What do you know?
I will be put on administrative leave tomorrow morning.
All right, guys. All right. Well, we're definitely coming back to the standing O thing. But, Bo, you wanted to come back to
the A's.
The A's, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. It's kind of like to your point. Eventually, yeah, they're going to trade him. How this becomes a thing is if they can get any kind of pitching over the next couple of years, because these young A's hitters can hit.
Yeah.
They can flat out hit. If they get any pitching, they're going to be dangerous.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because it's going to be really hard to get pitchers to sign there, right? Because nobody wants to pitch in that park.
Right.
It's a sandbox. It'll murder your stats. It's like pitching in Colorado. So nobody wants to sign there. So you're going to have to grow the pitching or get prospects, you know, guys who are effectively coming there against their will. But it is possible. Like, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Irby, anything on that? Or do you just want to talk about the no-hitters?
I love watching young athletics players and just envisioning what players I would trade in the near future to get them.
Yeah.
He's going to look real good in their uniform.
All right.
Yeah, so the no hitter. All right, so
you're giving standing ovations to other people's pitchers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Possibly. What the heck, man?
Okay. Seriously. All right.
So it was ballpark in Arlington, and it was peak prime Roy Halladay for the Blue Jays. We knew it about the third. It might have been the third or fourth inning that we were in for a show. And granted, how it was different is the Rangers were not good. They were not competitive. They weren't going anywhere that year. So it did make it a lot easier to just sit there and enjoy a masterpiece. And he did. He threw him out. He didn't get a no-hitter, but he had a one-hitter. I think he struck out 14 or 15. Like, it was just fun to watch. And so, yes.
Okay, but the question isn't whether it's fun to watch or whether you can appreciate it. The question is, are you going to stand up and cheer for that guy beating your team? That's what I want to know.
That day, yes. I had resigned to the fact that we are not going to win. We're not going to be. Yes, I was cheering for Halladay to do that day.
Oh,
do you want to put him in podcast jail?
Yes.
Me too.
Okay, it's fine.
He's in podcast jail now. No, I'm sorry. I'm not, like, especially today, I'd just like to point out that Gavin Williams did not actually successfully throw a no-hitter, so you gave an opposing player a standing ovation for beating you. Basically, he didn't even throw a no-hitter. You gave him an ovation for kicking the crap out of you. This makes no sense. Like, I just
especially now that you're 2.5 behind Philly.
I'm sorry. You've lost, what, 9 of your last 10? Like, you just got swept, like, roundly. This guy did not even throw a no-hitter. There's no history being made here. You just got shellacked. And you're giving an ovation? I mean, like, you're nice people. I like that about you. I'd rather be doing it there than across town where they'd be throwing trash at you in the Bronx. But, like, I mean, have some pride. Like, you can clap politely or say, yeah, like, I tip my cap to that guy. But, like, standing ovation, see, this is why you're in jail. This is why we had to put you in jail.
Like, I accept it. I'll do my time.
Yeah. So, Bo, you're with me, right? We're not doing this?
No!
Like, no, this is unacceptable. I'm sorry. We're not doing this. No, no. I'm not going to reward you for beating my team. No. Okay, good. I'm glad we cleared that up. unfortunately, we do have to let her be back out of jail because I need his opinions on the next segment. So he is going to be allowed back out. You can put him back. If he causes another problem, you can put him
out on a technicality. That is so
work release.
He's out on bail. Yeah, he's on work release.
Taking it off, Jimbo.
Now, you know damn well he's a flight risk.
I know you're making me think of that guy in Elf that he meets in the mailroom. How'd you get here, work release? All right, Irby, you're out on bail. And we need to talk about who's in, who's out, post-deadline, playoff bubble teams. And this is a little bit tougher than I thought it was going to be because it turns out everybody's a bubble team because there isn't a single division where somebody has wrapped up the division, like not one, which means we have a whole bunch of teams here who could be in, could be out. So, all right, I'm just going to give you a list of teams. Now, keep in mind that you can only pick six in each division. So factor that into your calculations. And you just give me a quick in, out, and then I'll let you comment at the end. All right, Toronto.
In. Oh, wow.
That was fast.
That was fast. He jumped. He was all over that.
Can we put him back in jail for that? I feel like that's a that's got to be a parole violation. Wow.
That probably is a parole violation. But honestly, like I need his books for this. Like I don't know. But yeah, that will be noted when you're sentenced. We're noting that. Okay.
So, out.
Out. I'm out as well. Okay. Yankees.
Out.
In.
Me and Irby just going to bat heads all through this.
I'm out too. Boston.
In.
Out.
All right, I'm in as well. All right, so Irby doesn't agree with us on anything, Bo and I agree on everything so far. Detroit.
In.
In.
In. We finally have a unanimous decision. Cleveland.
In.
In.
And another one. All right, we have another unanimous decision. Okay, Kansas City. This one should be unanimous as well, I think.
Out.
Yep.
Long pause. Out.
All right.
You could have answered Houston. Quick on them.
Houston.
In.
Out.
Ooh.
Really? All right. I'm in as well. I mean, gross, but yeah. Texas.
In.
In.
Yep, me too. In. Seattle.
In.
In.
Yep, me too. No, I'm out. Actually, Bo, you and I cannot. Can we? Yeah, I guess we can.
We can because
we can.
Right, because basically what we're saying is it's going to be Cleveland, Texas, and Seattle as the wild cards with Boston winning the East.
Maybe we're saying that. I'm sorry, I'm not conceding the division. I was 15 and a half games out a month ago, and now I'm six, and I got six head-to-heads with Detroit, so I'm not conceding the division.
I will rephrase, Detroit or Cleveland, depending on whoever loses the division as the wild card. That's what I meant.
Right, Detroit or Cleveland, and then Texas, Seattle, Houston. Right?
Yeah.
Boston being the only representative from the East. Yeah, no, okay, so you and I agree, and Irby agrees with some of it. You and I have all the same, Bo. Yeah, you and I have all the same.
I think we have the same AL playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, we have exactly the same. Okay, and Irby, you had a lot of the same as
Boston
us.
Boston out, Houston out.
Yeah, you had Boston out, Houston out, and Toronto and New York in, and we had them out. Yep. And then the rest are the same. Okay, NL should be a little easier because there are at least less teams to deal with. So, okay, you've got seven here, which means you only have to kick one person out.
Yeah.
So, okay, Philly.
In.
In.
In. Yep, that's an easy one. Mets.
In.
In.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they look horrifying right now, but... Yeah. Okay. Brewers.
In.
In.
In. Yep. Cubs.
In.
In.
Yep. Me too. Cincinnati.
Out.
One has been hit out.
Yeah. So that's it, right? Because then you're just, okay, so we just have the Dodgers and the Padres, so that will be an in for all of those. All right, so we are 100% agreement across the board in the NL. It is a lot easier than the AL.
It really is.
All right, so I think we are, Irby, who do you think is going to win the AL East? And Bo and I clearly think it's Boston. Who do you think is winning the AL East? Because you have Toronto and New York both in. So who wins the wild card?
Golly, man, that's tough because I for a long time, was like, you know, the Yankees with the end of the season schedule they have are going to right the ship. But, man, 6.5 behind Toronto?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, I'm like, so I'm going to say Toronto wins that division.
Okay. How about the Central?
Central, I still have Detroit. I will cheer for Cleveland, but. I would put Detroit, but get it, Guardians. Get it, because that fall would be epic. What was it, 15?
Mm-hmm.
15? Oh, nasty. Love it. Get them.
Well, I, Irby, I agree with you.
What did you guys say about the Central? I lost you for a second.
Oh, okay. I'm going to agree with Irby, but that's only because it's... I really don't know why, honestly. Like, you can flip a coin on this one. I just don't know if Detroit's going to blow that big of a lead. I know Cleveland's that second-half team. I know they're the second-half team, but it is a big lead.
It's only 6 games, and it was 15.5 a month ago.
All right, you know what? Hell with it. You've convinced me.
Factor into your calculations that Cleveland has the easiest remaining.
You know what? The hell with it. I'm going against Jeremy. I'm picking Cleveland. Like, yeah.
And they have six games
left
remaining on the schedule.
Okay.
So. But Detroit has Charlie Morton.
Wow.
Do you want to go back to jail? Do you
want to
be back in the jail?
Me and Charlie are going to be in there together.
I was the one arguing. I was arguing for the state against the bail. So don't look at me.
No, not you. Him.
I know. I was trying to keep him in jail, so it's not my fault.
Oh. Well, no, I'm not holding you responsible for that. all right. So, and what about the West?
God, that is. Man, that is such a.
I'll go first for you, Bo, if it's easier. And you can. Seattle will win the West. I think there's just enough there pitching. And
you know what?
There's enough of their offense.
You know
Seattle
what
wins that.
You know what the thing is? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take Texas. And you know why I'm taking Texas? They don't have to play Seattle again this year in the regular season. They don't have to play them again during the regular season.
Okay. That's well, true. I'm picking not Seattle. I don't know if it's going to be Texas or Houston. Like, please, God, let it be Texas. But, like, I don't know if it's going to be Texas or Houston, but I'm gonna say not Seattle. That is my conclusion here. Not Seattle. I think either of the other two. Not Seattle. I don't trust them.
The Rangers the Rangers still have those head-to-heads with Houston. They played Houston well this year. They're doing well. Yeah. As long as they're not playing Seattle, they're doing fine. That's the big problem. You look at it, that's the difference in the standings right now, both in between like the division and head to head again, like between Seattle and Texas. Seattle's got that 2-game lead now, right? So not having to play Seattle, having a schedule as mostly home games where they're starting to really play well at home. Yeah, I think Texas has that run in them.
Yeah, I think they do too. Unfortunately, we have a bunch of games against you, so that might get ugly on this podcast.
Including the last three. Three of the season. That is going to test this. And come on, guys. Let's all wrap that up before.
I'm worried about the other one. Because that one, I'm just hoping at least somebody's got it wrapped up by that point. Because then it's off the table. Right?
Yes.
The last three of the season. Hopefully, only one of the two would need to have it wrapped up. And it's fine. It's the series before that I'm worried about. That's going to be, it's concerning. I don't know if we're going to have a podcast that week, you guys. everyone might be in jail.
I'm actually going to one of those games, too.
All right.
If one team gets swept, we won't be having a podcast.
Ooh. I don't even know. But who is showing up to that? The people, the sweeper, this way. All right, we're getting way too bogged down. Exactly. We got to move on. This is taking too long. Okay. NL, I'm ignoring the East and the West because I'm assuming everybody knows what's going to happen there. At least barring something weird, we know what's going to happen there. So just give me your pick for Milwaukee and the Cubs in the Central. Cincinnati.
Yeah,
not you're feeling frisky.
That's you would have to be feeling really frisky. I'm going Cubbies. I'm going Cubbies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Milwaukee because the world is broken.
Milwaukee because the world is broken, and also at least I can take comfort in the fact that it's not Craig Council anymore. Yeah. So I'll take that. All right. Now that we've done that, there have been several jailings. I'm sorry. This segment got really out
of hand. People in jail.
I don't even know if you're in or out of jail right now, but we're going to have to let you talk because it's your turn. So.
Okay, Irby, you're up.
All right, from my jail cell. let's kind of continue on the same thing. We're talking about who's in and out and stuff, and we just went through, had a lot of fun last week at the trade deadline, and now we get to overreact. That's the best part about after trade deadline when you've got your new shiny piece and everything, and they hit a home run. You're like, this is the greatest trade ever. Or they blow a game, and you're like, why did we get this guy? I love all those things. So it got like what I want to talk to y'all about is what do you, what can be done? What do you do when it doesn't work out? And I think to really address this, there's different teams. It has to be what were you trying to do with the deadline? Are you chasing a playoff spot? Are you just trying to hold on to it? Like, we're in a nosedive. We're trying to stop this skid. Or did you make trades to build for October? And some of the teams here, what we've seen already, it's all different things. You know, we look at the Yankees are one great example. I think it was the funniest thing in the world there. You know, they bolstered their bullpen with Bird, Duvall, and Bednar, and all three gave up 9 combined earned runs to the Marlins. And their first outing. Like,
Bird has been optioned to AAA.
That's the best play. They gave up two. All right, one legit prospect, and you've already demoted the guy, but you had to. I mean, you've seen what his pitch is. When that sweeper is on, it's unhittable. But it's not on that often, so it's very hittable. Bednar's definitely correct. But yeah, for the Yankees, and I know there's some offensive additions there, but the offense was done more to kind of bolster the bench and bolster the lineup to flip it over. But this is one example here of that bullpen, which since the beginning of the summer, their bullpen had an ERA approaching 5. Before these guys were these acquisitions. So for me, it feels like the Yankees are just like, we got to go get something. We have to do something to stop this skid. And it hasn't really stopped it yet. So that's one of them. The other one, a different angle to look at, it's more of holding on. The Tigers. It's a similar thing where you went out and you got Finnegan and Montero, which Rafael Montero has been traded at the deadline at 3 straight years now. and then you added Charlie Morton. Like this just felt like these are pieces to get you through games. Detroit's a playoff team. We all did that just a few minutes ago. This is a playoff team. Division's now up in the air, 15 down to 6, like that. Yeah, we still got 2 months to go, and you lost that in a month. These are not pieces that are going to right that ship. I feel like these are pieces that get you ready for October. What you already have on your team is what keeps you in the divisional lead. Your thoughts on that one?
We need to talk about Chris Paddock.
There you go.
Who was traded to Detroit from Minnesota. And then they lost to Minnesota while Chris Paddock was pitching. Like, I'm sorry. No, this is subtraction by addition, man. You're now losing. You had a 15.5 game lead a month ago, and now you're losing series to the Twins with their crappy pitcher. Like, this seems bad. I don't know what the rest of this stuff is that they're doing. It was a weird deadline for them. I didn't really actually think they needed to do anything, and instead they made themselves worse. The Yankees have not made themselves better. The Mets have also seemed to, there's something in the water that's only being drunk by bullpen pitchers, apparently, in New York. But, like, the Mets bullpen also melting down the new acquisitions. Rogers looked bad. Like, yeah, and I don't know what's going on in Detroit, but they've somehow managed to make themselves worse by adding at the deadline. So, yikes.
Wouldn't they have been better if they had just stood pat in the bullpen and released Devin Williams? If they just released Devin Williams and your bullpen gets better. Yeah. It's really all you got to do.
And they're still sending him out there, too.
I know. Like, I see.
It's bad. It's bad. I don't know.
Not only are they sending him out there, they're sending him out there in high leverage situations. Like, at some point, Aaron Boone's going to have a little bit more presence in the game.
Do you think he's in charge of that? Do you think he's let's make that decision? I don't know. I can never decide if I think Aaron Boone is even in charge of that. I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Is that up to him? Is he allowed to make that call? I don't know. Because if he is making that call, then this will be the first time I will ever endorse the maybe you do need to fire Aaron Boone thing. You know, they always want to fire, which I think is ridiculous. But, you know, this is a fireable offense, maybe continuing to send Devin Williams out there. Also, it has been hilariously pointed out that they changed their beard rule to sign him, and now they're cursed.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
It's so funny. Ask me if I feel bad for the Yankees. The answer is never, ever under any circumstances. I never feel bad for them. Like, I can't even imagine the scenario where something would happen that would make me feel sorry for them. And the beard thing is the funniest freaking thing ever. Like, oh, you undid your crazy policy and it cursed you. Serves you right.
The sooner they make Bednar their closer, the better they can ride the ship. But, you know, I'm not in charge. The other team I wanted to throw at you guys, and it was for the other example I was saying, where you're building for an October run, and that's the Padres. Mm-hmm. The Padres made, adding Laureano, who's jumped right into it. And Ryan O'Hearn, who's struggling, but again, he wasn't brought over to be the guy. He's just building up there. I know I was very critical of the Padres. You've done this before. Let me see something. Mason Miller. It's funny. You look at Mason Miller and you're like, wow, he struggled in one of those outings. And it's like, have you seen Mason Miller this year? Like,
yeah.
When he's not on, he's very hittable.
Yeah. Yeah, those fastballs, they do float.
But again, the Padres, I think those moves were made for October. Like you did that for October. They're not going to lose a playoff. They may not catch the Dodgers. They may catch them. I don't know. It wasn't going to come down to these guys, but you already have. So I feel like this was for October. Now, do y'all show up in October? I can't control that. So. But yeah, it'll be fun to see. And it's so interesting because you know, when I said it like that too, of like, you know, what do you do? Well, there's nothing you can do. We're past the trade deadline. You got to deal with what you have. And it's funny in a situation, especially like a Yankees one, where you gave up some decent talent that might have helped out. But instead, you got these guys, and now you can't. So there's not much you can do. It's great. Baseball's fun. So. All right. Well, the other one, and kind of lead into it, because Samantha, you already talked about a curse and everything. Baseball always has a curse, and it's kind of flared back up this week. The mound, there's something there. I think y'all said it well before. There's a portal. Whatever it is, and Hunter Gaddis is our perfect example this week. And I know the Rangers had an issue with it too of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a road thing? Is it a random?
I don't think
what's going on here.
I think it's actually pretty cut and dry. A pitcher turning into a fielder around the mound is going to screw it up. A fielder turning into a pitcher on the mound is going to screw it up. Yeah, I think it's pretty cut and dry. I don't think it's random at all. Samantha, what about you?
Yeah, look, the mound portal is basically undefeated right now. There are people who are resistant to the mound portal. Like, I saw Gavin Williams do it today, but he's a guy who consistently fields his position well, right? So there are people who are, like, mound portal resistant, who do not automatically, like, jump to the next piece of the multiverse when they enter or exit the mound portal. But for the most part, like, the mound portal takes us all eventually. So, you know, we saw it. I mean, I saw Jose Ramirez go onto the mound on Tuesday night. And he did make the catch, but I mean, it was dicey. You know what I mean? So it's like, if Jose Ramirez, if it gets dicey, I mean, the Hunter Gaddis thing, oh, Jesus, oh my God. Like, I mean, you have runners at second and third, and the ball goes 15 feet. And instead of A, letting the catcher deal with the ball, or B, picking that ball up and putting it in your pocket and just saying, okay, he's safe at first, but we're not letting the run score, right? No, did none of those things. Threw the ball to first, into the dugout, two runs score. Mount portal. Like, I mean, it's very easy to blame Hunter Gaddis for this, because Hunter Gaddis has been admittedly not great lately. So, like, I think that maybe when you're doing poorly, you are more susceptible to the mound portal. Like, I think it takes the weak ones. It's like when the lion is hunting and it sees the gazelle that's injured. I think the mound portal's kind of like you, you know, like, you can't, it's harder to escape the mound portal, perhaps, if you're having other problems.
You know, and
it goes after the young and sickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What was interesting?
It takes a week. It preys on the week.
Your confidence is shattered. I must eat you.
Yeah.
So you know what was interesting with the Merrill Kelly mound portal incident? Right? He forgot how many outs there were, tried to get the lead runner, threw it to third. The mound portal also sucked Josh Smith's talent for a second, because the sure-handed Smith couldn't catch the ball.
He couldn't catch the ball because he's not expecting it.
Still.
No.
I think this is. I think this.
Looking at him as he's throwing, you're like, the hell are you throwing at me for?
I'm just saying.
The ball came from the mound portal.
Thank you.
It was contaminated.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is my point.
The ball was just contaminated.
Like a 5-second rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this goes back to, you know, baseball has done this to themselves. I'm by no means am I suggesting a rule change or anything, but you created a sport with a hill. You created your own hill. Nobody else does this. There's not elevation changes on a football field. There's not different materials.
That would be so funny.
Ice and hockey.
That would be amazing. We should do that. Yeah. I want the opposite rule change. I want more elevation changes in other sports. Yeah. This would be amazing. I love it. Let's have a pit and a mountain on football fields. The NFL would be way better.
In football, you got to go into the student section and uphill. What the amazing. Freaking crap?
Love it. Through a small swimming pool, perhaps. See, we can make the NFL fun again. Just, I'm telling you.
The Florida Gators have a moat with gators around the field.
I like it. I could get really into this idea, actually. Yeah. No, I could be very into that. Or, radical idea, you could also have your pitchers take more fielding practice. There's also that.
But, you know, we talk about that in February. And they do that, and they practice it and all that, and then it's like, okay, it's like a checkbox. Okay, we did that. It's like a fire drill. All right, we did that.
Have them take more.
Or, and this is, as any infielder or catcher would say, just let us handle it. Get out of the way.
Well, that would be ideal. But, I mean, I think part of the problem with the mound portal is that you, like, lose your mind as you go through it, right? Yes. So, like, any instinct that if you're Hunter Gaddis, for example, if you had stayed on the mound a little longer, perhaps your brain would have said to you, you know, I should let the catcher get that. But you didn't. You crossed the threshold of the mound portal. It eats the weak.
It is hilarious. It's this is the equivalent of like a quarterback, like if they got outside the pocket. What do I do now? We'll throw the football.
Exactly what some of them do, actually.
It's amazing what pitchers do, where they could be so athletic, but boy, if that ball comes back at you, I don't know what to do.
Or the fact that they can't throw to first, or the fact that they can't cover first, I just can't. The non-portal. But the mound portal is very real. It's not just about being pitchers being spazzes when they come off the mound, because the mound portal also eats infielders.
Yes. So
this is true.
This is very real.
You know, at some point, and maybe we could, you know, have a little fun with this, but What is the area around the mound that constitutes the portal? Right? Do you have to be on the mound? You be a little bit off the mound? Okay.
On the mound, I think. Yeah, is when you cross the threshold of the mound. Yeah, that's okay. Where.
There we go.
The jump is.
Okay.
So could you be standing in the grass and reach over the mound and make a catch and you'd be fine?
No, because that's still going into the portal.
Yeah, no, now we're in like Death Star territory. You're going to get sucked in by the thingy. You know, the force field thingy. Like, you're going to get tractor beams. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Because that would be amazing. I would love, for any infielder out there listening, I would love for y'all to do that. Like, stop on the grass, reach over, make the catch. And when everyone looks at you weird, be like, I'm not stepping on that thing. I'm not getting anywhere near that.
But you could still get mound portal, though, because your arm has crossed the mound portal.
Yeah.
You know?
You might lose an arm that way.
You could absolutely lose an arm that way. And you're certainly, the likelihood that you will drop the ball is incredibly high. So, you just have to hope.
So the safe thing would be to jump in the air through the portal?
No, because then you get sucked in.
Yeah, no, the safe thing to do would be to either allow the pitcher to attempt to field his position or to simply let the ball drop.
Actually, that'd be the best. Let the fielder field it and then go, here, hand me that. I'll make the
play. Yeah. Actually, this is what we should do. You know what? This is how we combat the problem of pitchers throwing to a base to get an out. Like, one of the infielders, whoever's on the opposite side of where the ball goes, runs to the edge. And if the pitcher fields the ball, he just underhands it to that person. And then that person throws to first, and that person throws home. Like, I understand there are situations where this won't work because it's too bang-bang, but let's be real. Your pitcher's not throwing that guy out anyway. You might as well try it.
You know, on the flip side of this, as a hitter, wouldn't you be like if you're one of those slap hitters, one of those fast guys that gets the indoor single all the time, aren't you practicing bunting right to the mound?
Hey, why do you think we're so good at safety squeezes? That's not checkers, baby. You know how many games we've won off? I hit the one 10 feet. Mound portal will come for you.
Yeah.
No, Seager did that today. Had a little roller and rode on when he picked it up. The way he threw it, I was like, "Did your wrist go limp? Like, what happened?" Like,
the mound
he was mound portaled.
He was bitten.
Exactly.
Yeah, the mound portal got him.
It's legitimate. It's a legit thing.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, hopefully, someone else gets swallowed.
It would be funny if, at some point, it just went all in and just straight up swallowed someone, like completely. Like, I didn't just want a little taste. I need a whole player.
Yankee fans have got some guys they volunteer.
Oh, yeah. See, now we're in another bad place because now we're like, okay, what happens if you start feeding your undesirables to the mound portal? Like a human sacrifice? You know, like a Greek cult? Like, listen, we're doing really badly. This guy's a problem. Like, hey, Devin.
I've never wanted like a strategically placed sinkhole more in my life than I do right now. Right? Get a sinkhole right on the mound. Or
you remember that happened. You remember that Guardians Rangers game that got delayed because of the sinkhole on the mound in Texas?
Yep.
Do you remember
this? I do. Well, you also have in Texas, you also have that retractable mound. What if that thing just malfunctions?
Do you think the mountain portal was Beck's technology? I'm not sure.
I think it would use technology to assert itself.
Great. That's how AI is going to get a mountain portal.
Oh, yeah. It's going to suck everyone into the mound.
Imagine opposing pitchers coming off. What the heck happened? It moved! Dude, the ground didn't move. I'm telling you that mound moved while I was trying to make that throw. They're moving it. They're not moving it.
And now we're in like Savannah Bananas land, like a moving mound. Oh, jeez, yikes!
So great.
All right, let's move on to the Red Sox for a little bit because they're on fire, flat out on fire. They were going into today. They'd won what, 7 in a row going into play today. They're hot. I guess Samantha, do we have to start looking at this because we talked a little bit on the trade deadline show about them not adding the pitching that everyone thought that they should add. And then right after, Tanner Houck goes down with Tommy John. So we're thinking, wow, man, Red Sox, you really should have added. Yet here they are. They've won every game since the deadline. So I'm not really sure what to think here about the Red Sox pitching situation. Is it a problem or is it not?
Well, this is tough because I think, you know, the easy answer is like right now it's not. But I think we were always looking at this as, well, I know you and I definitely thought this was a playoff team even before the deadline.
Sure.
So we were looking at this as you need to do this for the postseason. And part of the reason we were mad at them is because it was like, well, who's throwing, you know, especially if you're in like the wild card round, you know, we're like, you better have two good starters, like two late. Who's throwing these games? You know, and we still don't have an answer to that. And I don't know that, like, winning your regular season games between now and then changes anything. Like, good for them. They're doing well. They don't look like they needed the starters right now. But if at the end of the day, you always thought they were a playoff team and the goal of this was to shore up the rotation for the postseason, I still have the same questions.
Yeah. I mean, they could have outbid Texas for Merrill Kelly, for example, who,
yes,
Mound Portal incident aside, had a great first start with Texas. So,
yeah,
and he's been a great pitcher all year long. That's a guy you could have added. Oh, and by the way, he went to somebody who you could see in that wild card series.
Well, and that's the real kicker, right? Is you didn't get outbid it.
I like that? Outbid it. Can we just make outbid that up?
You didn't get outbid it. I did. I may have made that up. You didn't get outbid. We're going to go with outbid it.
I like outbid it.
You didn't get outbid it by, like, Milwaukee, you know, a team that you're extraordinarily unlikely to meet in the postseason. You got outbid by somebody who you may see in the first round of the postseason, potentially. Like, so that has the ability to come back and bite you, like, immediately and directly, all because, like, you couldn't be bothered to bid on Merrill Kelly. Mm-hmm. Like, this seems kind of bad. Like, and I'm not saying I think the Red Sox are going to do well. I think they're going to do just fine in the postseason. But this is a concern. And boy, wouldn't that be bad if you dropped a series to Texas because you didn't have starting pitching and you got beat by the guy that you didn't get, yeah, that you should have got. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Irby, how about you? What do you think about the Red Sox pitching?
Well, first of all, the term is out-Bidened. Out-Bidened.
Out-Bidened.
You know... I like outbidded better.
Outbidded, yeah. So the pitching situation. Well, let the record show, Bo. As soon as you actually said those words, Jordan Hicks just gave up a 3-run homer to Jonathan India.
Ooh,
like, literally as you were saying that. So.
Ooh. I've really got to watch it, man. I've got some powers.
That was well. But today's the day. Hey, this
does actually start a lot.
This was Dustin May's start, and it did not go well. It did not. I took him 91 pitches. He couldn't even get out of the fourth inning, and they are now 6-2 behind Kansas City. Like this, yeah, you've got
Dustin
a one
May.
Two punts.
I could have told you this would happen.
You did. You did say that.
You're right. I did literally tell you this was going to happen. That's right.
It's like, I heard you say that. Yes, you did.
Oh, boy.
I'm with you guys. I think the pitching's going to be a problem. You've got a 1-2 punch, which is great. I mean, Giolito's fine. It's fine. Bueller's not the same one, but you don't have an easy schedule. This is kind of why I'm leaning toward Boston as an out. You're winning these games. Good job. Thank you for sweeping Houston. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
But Boston's had this run before, and you're still in a situation where you're a wild card, not a division leader. You're going to get your chances. They do have three against Toronto at the very end. They got to play Toronto and Detroit to wrap this up. So they've got San Diego and Houston again here coming up. So I take care of the Padres and the Astros here in this next week, and I'll be a little bit more of a believer. But yeah, this is why I'm on the outside. I just don't think you have the pitching, and like you guys have said, the opportunity was there.
Oof. Yeah, it was there. Okay, Samantha, anything else on the Red Sox before we have some fun with the Twins?
No, let's have fun with the Twins, because Lord knows the Twins aren't having fun with the Twins.
Yeah, okay. All right, look, and Twins fans, don't turn the show off. Don't go something else. This will be fun for you, too.
Bo, don't worry. They all left last week when I took back your apology.
That's right. That's right. Okay, well.
We had Twins fans listening to us?
No.
All right, we're going to play a fun little game because, you know, the Twins sold everybody off on their Major League roster and called up a third, I'm not even exaggerating here, a third of their AAA roster was called up to the big league team. So, got a lot of new faces on this 40-man. So, we're going to have some fun here. I have a list here. I have four players on the Minnesota Twins 40-man. And I've got four names that I've used our lovely Bases Loaded. You guys remember Bases Loaded when we were kids? Well, Bases Loaded had all last names, right? So what I've done here is I've created four fictional characters using the real first name of a Twins player on their 40-man roster and a Bases Loaded last name. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say a name, and you tell me, real Minnesota Twin or Bases Loaded Minnesota Twin?
Oh my gosh, this is awesome.
This is so awesome. Yay.
All right. Right out of the gate, first one, Noah Fallon.
Nope. I think that's a twin.
Okay.
Fake.
Irby, you're correct. It is a fake. That is a Bases Loaded Minnesota Twin. Noah Fallon.
He played for the Texas team, so that's the only reason I knew that one.
Oh!
He was the three-hole hitter, left fielder.
How do you remember that?
Because I played that way too much.
I
played it just enough.
I played it too much, too, but I don't remember any of their names. I had to look this stuff up. Wow. Okay.
I don't remember that one at all. I remember some of them, but I don't remember that one.
Okay. Player number two. Cody Funderburk.
I know for a fact this is a twin.
Okay. Irby?
Yes, he's a Dallas Baptist kid.
Is he really?
He played at DBU.
So I picked the one guy that went to a Dallas high school that you knew about? That's just fantastic.
College. No, DBU.
Oh, okay. Well, same thing.
Yes, but same thing. Fantastic name. Yes, that would get...
All right. Player number three, Zebby Matthews.
Wait, you changed just the last name?
Yes.
The first. You don't have to.
Zebby Matthews.
Okay, this one's impossible to tell because the weird parts of the first name. So I'm going to.
Yeah. I want to say it's real just because of how long the last name was. Like, I don't feel like the video game did that long the last name.
Okay.
That's the only reason.
Don't get scientific with my game.
Why not? Hold on. Am I right?
I'm waiting on Samantha's guess.
Oh.
I think that is... I think it's a Bases Loaded guy.
So close. That is a real Minnesota twin, Zebby Matthews.
I assumed that was correct. I didn't want to side with him because he tried to science the game. And I know that was upsetting.
Thing is,
and he's already in jail. So.
The thing is, I didn't even think about the length of the last name when I did this, and I should have. All right. Player number four. Bailey Grogan.
I know that's a twin.
Bailey Grogan?
No, you know what? No, I think I'm wrong. I think I'm thinking of somebody else.
You're thinking of Bailey Ober.
Yeah, so that's a Bases Loaded guy, right?
I think. Unless.
Irby.
Yeah,
unless there's
a... Do they have two Baileys on the team? I'm going to go that they have two Baileys on the team, because that sounds like something they would do.
Bailey Grogan is a bases-loaded Minnesota Twin.
Dang it!
Okay. Phew. All right.
All right. Player number five, Mick Abel.
That's a real guy. He was in their trade.
Samantha?
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, Mick Abel. You know what? I tried to throw you guys a curveball with that one because he's a minor league member in the 40-man.
That is
but,
true.
We saw him in the trade, though. Yeah, like, we saw him in the trade or something. Yeah.
I know, but that was a week ago, and we've all slept since then. Okay.
There are many things I don't remember from a week ago, so it's a perfectly valid way to go.
All right. Our next player, Travis Ryder.
Travis Ryder. I mean, that sounds like a baseball name.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's a bases loaded guy, just because I have no evidence to say that he's not. No evidence to say that he's a twin.
Yeah, so could be. We'll split strategy, and I'll go, that's real. So one of us is right.
Okay.
Travis Ryder is a bases loaded Minnesota twin.
Boom, yes. Good job.
All right. Our next player, Taj Mahvydi.
That's got to be fake.
I think it is, because I can think of another player named Taj, but that's not his last name. No, I think that's fake.
Very good. Taj Mahvydi is a fake bases-loaded Minnesota twin. One more to go here. Pearson Ohl. Pearson Ohl.
I think that's a twin.
Irby?
I'm going to go with twin as well.
Very good. Pearson Ohl is, in fact, a Minnesota twin. Nice job. You guys did pretty good on that.
Do you think the bases loaded twins would be the real twins?
Absolutely no question.
I agree.
No question. Now, look out.
I agree.
Look out for future iterations of this game where I can get the umpire names in there. They were a little too
dumb food bombs.
They were a little too obvious for this game. But
still funny, will be funny forever if
we
did that.
Oh, see, now I want to play bases loaded, but I don't
have, too.
I don't have Nintendo needs to release that on like the Switch retro program that they got, where you play the old games.
Why don't we have that on Switch?
Is it on there?
You?
Yeah, that's how I play it.
Well, now
it's playing the old Nintendo.
Well, now I'm going to have
to... You told my kids about this?
I'm going to look this up now.
I can't believe they haven't figured that out. I can't believe I didn't figure this out. I might have to get a Switch.
I mean, look, it's been a while since I got on there, but...
Yeah.
I did look for it. I did look for it the last time I was there. Now, granted, that was probably a couple of years ago. So maybe they added it since then. Okay. Let's take a look at that. All right. Well.
Get my boy Malvo going. Yeah.
I need Staver. Staver the Saver, the sidearm enclosure.
There you go.
That's my guy.
By the way, I really wish that James Outman was not so well known, because that would have been a perfect one to use for this. But
oh yeah, Outman, yeah, they definitely would have. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that could be another fun one. Like if we do like a draft day one, we may have to do that next year for the draft. Be like, here, is this a real draft prospect
or a bases loaded prospect?
Loaded player.
All right. Well, wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show, help us out with that algorithm so we can get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week, watch some baseball. It's good for you.
Come.